Welcome to International Baptist Church's Christmas Eve Vespers service. It's good to see everybody here, and we're really glad to be able to be here tonight to worship together the Lord, our Savior, who was born, and we're going to celebrate that tonight. So why don't we begin just by praying together. Dear Father in Heaven, we thank you so much that we can come here this evening in freedom and worship you in this place, Lord. And that's the reason that we're here, God, is to worship you for the wonderful thing that you did for us, above all other things, sending your Son to save us from sin, from our sins, for the sins of the whole world. And so we remember tonight the true meaning of Christmas as we meet together. And we come with joy in our hearts, and we pray, God, where there's maybe anxiety or anything other than joy, that you would come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts and lead us, God, closer to you as we sing together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing Joy to the World. Songs. We're going to do a song now that's probably a little less familiar but very rich lyrically, called Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne.
Set thy people free.
scripture reading now. I'm not sure who's supposed to be doing that. Well, I don't have my Bible here, so...
Gospel of John. You may be seated. Gospel of John. Chapter 1, the first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. So the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God.
Amen. If you wish, you can stand up again. We're going to sing together a couple more songs now. First one is, What Child Is This?
Virgin.
Holy Night. And we'll sing probably one of the favorites together. Let's sing this with a prayer in our heart to God and a thankful heart for the one who came on this holy night.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt His worth. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh,
seated. A Christmas poem by Charles Wesley. Glory be to God on high, and peace on earth descend. God comes down, he bows the sky, and shows himself our friend. God, the invisible, appears. God, the blessed, the great I am, sojourns in this vale of tears, and Jesus is his name. Him the angels all adored, their maker and their king. Tidings of their humbled Lord they now to mortals bring. Emptied of his majesty, of his dazzling glories shorn, being's source begins to be, and God himself is born. See the eternal Son of God, a mortal Son of Man, dwelling in an earthly clod whom heaven cannot contain. Stand amazed, ye heavens, at this. See the Lord of earth and skies. Humbled to the dust he is, and in a manger lies. We, the sons of men, rejoice, the Prince of Peace proclaim. With heaven's host lift up our voice, and shout Emmanuel's name. Knees and hearts to him we bow, of our flesh and of our bone. Jesus is our brother now, and God is all our own.
Amen. Thank you, Stuart. This evening we sang about Jesus the King. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Jesus Christ came to earth to set up a new kingdom, unlike anything we had ever seen before, but one we all long for, a kingdom of righteousness, of joy, of peace and love. Jesus came to take away our sins and sorrows. He came to reverse the curse of sin. But here we are, 2,000 years later, after Jesus came, and we still have sins and sorrows. Thorns still infest the ground. In spite of all the good Jesus has brought, a curse yet clings to earthly life. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote about this seeming contradiction. I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. So what are we to make of this new kingdom Jesus came to set up. Where is it? Well, as we read the Bible, we come to understand that the kingdom of God has two stages, that it comes in two stages. It is, in a sense, already here, and it is, in a sense, not yet here. It's already and not yet. You might say the kingdom comes in two phases. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ set up the first stage of the kingdom of God, and he's coming back a second time to inaugurate the final, second and final stage of this kingdom. At his first coming, he provided the cure for sin through his sacrificial death and resurrection. And at his second coming, he will apply the saving work to all of creation. So what we have now, scattered around the world, are little colonies of heaven where believers and followers of Christ gather together in small groups. And these are, in a sense, little colonies of heaven, little glimpses of what the kingdom of God shall be someday. But not until the second coming of Christ will his kingdom come in all of its fullness and cover all of the earth. And that's why we pray, what? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what I want to emphasize tonight is the certainty of the second coming of Christ. We call this the Advent season, and Advent means coming. There are two comings of Christ. And the first coming of Jesus guarantees the second coming of Jesus. At his first coming, Jesus Christ fulfilled hundreds of biblical prophecies precisely and literally. Doesn't it then make sense that he will also fulfill the remaining prophecies that pertain to his second coming to earth? Doesn't that logically follow? Many, many prophecies were fulfilled at the first coming of Jesus. Just a few of them to run down through for you. Prophecy in Isaiah 7, that he would be born of a virgin. Micah 5, he would be born in the village of Bethlehem. Many passages of the Old Testament predicting he would be a Jew, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, and the family of David, King David. Exodus saying that as a child he would temporarily live in Egypt. Prophecies that he would perform miracles, that he would teach in parables, that he would ride into the city of Jerusalem as a king on the colt of a donkey in Zechariah. He would be rejected of his own people. He would be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah again. He would die alongside of wicked men, Isaiah 53. He would be killed by being pierced, Psalm 22. He would rise from the dead, Psalm 16. Just a few of the hundreds of prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled at his first coming. There remain a whole host of prophecies in the Bible, yet unfulfilled, that pertain to his second coming. Now, if Jesus, at his first coming, filled all these hundreds of prophecies about his first coming precisely, exactly as foretold, and literally as predicted, does it not stand to reason he will also fulfill the remaining prophecies? He's coming again. The angel said to the disciples as Jesus was taken up into heaven after his resurrection, this is his ascension, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Again, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There are all of these predictions about a blessed golden age on this planet in connection with the second advent of Jesus Christ. It is predicted that the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The cow will feed with the bear, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a prophecy unfulfilled, yet to come. Another prophecy says there'll be no more war. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. People will finally live together in peace, in communities of perfect love, in righteousness, joy, and justice. No more poverty. Jesus will be king, and everyone will love him and serve him. There is prophecies about the glad reunion for the people of God of all ages, gathering together, one family. There'll be no more disease or suffering. Then will the eyes of the blind be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The ransomed of the Lord will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And death will be no more. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. All of these unfulfilled prophecies, shall they come to pass? Will that be reality? Well, based on history, based on what we know, that Jesus has already been here once and fulfilled hundreds of prophecies precisely as foretold, literally as foretold, shall we not expect with great joyful anticipation that he's coming back a second time to bring in the second phase of the kingdom in all of its fullness and all of its glory? So this season, when we look back and remember the first coming of Christ, is really a guarantee he's coming again. Now, I must tell you the whole story. I must tell you the rest of the story when Christ comes back. For those who love him, for those who follow him, for those who believe in him, there will be a warm welcome, and there will be unimaginable blessings. But I must warn you, for those unprepared for this climactic event, foretold in the Bible, believed by all Christians at all times in all places, this prediction of the second coming of Christ, if you are unprepared, it will be a tough time for you. I want to read the words of Jesus himself. Jesus himself talked about this day yet to come. He says, when the Son of Man comes, this is heavy. This is heavy. I prepare you. But these are the words of Jesus too. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. But then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I say that with fear and trembling. Heavy, heavy words. The King of all the earth is coming back, and it will not be a pleasant day for those who have committed treason against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But there is time to be prepared. Today is a day to ready yourself as the whole world remembers Christmas and remembers the first coming of Christ, and we tonight contemplate that this guarantees he's coming a second time, now's the time to prepare yourself, to be ready, so that day would not overtake you as a thief in the night, as the Bible says. There is one question which every person must lose no time in answering. What is my actual relation to him who, for love of me, was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, my present Redeemer, my future Judge? That is a question everyone must lose no time in answering. What is your relation to him? John Piper wrote these words about a town crier in the olden days. Town criers go through the city announcing some message as a herald. And he writes these words: "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, all rebels, insurgents, dissidents, and protesters against the king. Hear the royal decree. A great day of reckoning is coming, a day of justice and vengeance. But now hear this, all inhabitants of the king's realm. Amnesty is herewith published by the mercy of your sovereign. A price has been paid. All debts may be forgiven. All rebellion absolved. All dishonor pardoned. None is excluded from this offer. Lay down the weapons of rebellion. Kneel in submission. Receive the royal amnesty as a gift of imperial love. Swear fealty to your sovereign and rise in free and happy submission to your king." That's a wonderful message, a gospel message that goes out today to all. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, "What will he do with me?" Let's pray. Father, make us ready at this Advent season for that second Advent. Prepare us, should today even be the day, when the archangel's voice will be heard, the trumpet call will go forth, and all will see the Son of Man in all of his glory with the angels with him. Lord, may we make peace with our sovereign, lay down our arms of rebellion, surrender to him and swear fealty, loyalty to him, the King of Kings, the Creator, the one who is the Word, who was in the beginning, and without him nothing was made that has been made. That Word, it was made flesh, came into the world, provide forgiveness through his sufferings, death and resurrection, and who will come back and set up a kingdom we all long for, a kingdom where things are as they should be. Everything will be as it should be. And death will be no more, and war will be no more. Only righteousness, love, and peace and joy. We thank you, Lord, for this message of Christianity, the message of the Scriptures. And I just pray that you would help each of us to be prepared to ready ourselves for that day and not be taken by surprise, to make peace with you, to serve you, believe in you as our God and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the darkness of this hour, we want to light some candles as we conclude, the candles that will symbolize the hope of the second coming. If I could invite the ushers. Oh, they're already on the ball. What the ushers are going to do. Now, we didn't know how many people were going to come tonight, so I don't know if everybody got candles. We apologize if you didn't. But the ushers are going to light the candles of those on the inside of the aisle. a little coaching here, if I may. The unlit candle needs to pivot. If the unlit candle could pivot to a light, that would save the wax from getting on a lot of chairs. So if you would do that, and they'll be lighting the person's candle on the edge of the aisle there, and as we sing Silent Night. So thank you. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. Please extinguish your candle. The benediction May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.